and on Facebook and Instagram. And it's an image that I am contemplating and meditating upon through the whole of Advent and Christmas. The image is of a fallen, a broken star, which I suppose could speak of Israel, their national emblem. But it speaks much more than that. And I think the world is so complex, and there is so much suffering, and there is so much difference and disagreement and lack of togetherness, even in the United Kingdom at the moment. And we just wonder what is happening in the world and the future. And Christmas is so full of such commercialism, and people are already worrying about debt and other issues, that I need something that is simple and yet profound. I need to, the older I get, to actually to be able to hold on to perhaps one idea. That's maybe all I can cope with. And this image speaks to me that Christmas is a celebration. It reminds me that Jesus Christ came into the world to fix something that is broken in us and in the world. And what he came to do has personal significance to me, but it has significance to the whole world and indeed to the whole universe. But we just think about a tiny bit of it, which is planet Earth, and it is a tiny, tiny bit. It's quite a powerful image. There's a story behind it, which is of fallenness and brokenness. And while our tree was being decorated, I think, did you buy this for us, Liz? Is this, people buy us different did you buy this one, do you know? What's that? This image, this star. No. Whoever bought it for us, could you buy us another one? Because it's broken. And it's unfixable unless you sort of have the right resin. And if you have that tonight, you could fix it. I've got the bits here. But as the tree was being decorated, it fell and it broke. It's made of glass. And it broke into these three pieces and it was thrown in the bin. And my best beloved told me that it was in the bin. And being Christian, you have to forgive people, don't you, when they bust one of your favourite whatevers. But it was in the bin, and in the rubbish bin. And then I had an awful day. Was it just last week? When they were going to fit the glass on the Wednesday, and they phoned to tell me on the Tuesday that they'd made the wrong units. They'd made single glazed units, if you wonder why they're not in, not the double glazed units. The frames were made. This has taken about 18 months. And I had to be calm and everything like that. But it was one of those days, you know, when you think, oh, not something else, you know. But as I was sort of stomping around the house a bit and thinking, God, I shouldn't be angry, you know, about these windows. It's not important. We're not in Syria. We're not in the Yemen. You know, we're not suffering like that person. We're not facing that and so on. Into my mind popped the idea of this broken, fallen star, broken, that was in the rubbish bin in the lounge. And I just thought, oh, I think God's got something to say to me through that, because often God speaks through the Bible, but very often he just speaks through something. So I just felt, get the bits out of the bin. So I waded through all the old walnut shells, you know, all the horrible things and the envelopes that go into your thinking, I hope there's nothing horrible in here, being very careful because it's very, very sharp, and took the three pieces out and just put them onto my desk. And I could think about, you know, stars falling from the heaven and all this. I think about Jesus' phrase about how he saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, quoting from Isaiah, which was about the king of Babylon. And I thought, well, I don't know. And then I just felt that God was saying, you know, Jesus came into the world to fix something that's broken. Broken in every human being, broken in the world, in the environment and everything. And earlier in the year, we looked at five dimensions of brokenness in relationship that Jesus came to challenge. And you'll be pleased, I'm not going to speak about those this evening, but how Jesus came to fix that relationship that is broken between human beings and God, the relationship that is broken between us and our neighbours, which results in hatred and aggression and all the dreadful things that happen that even go on to warfare and murder and other things. Jesus came to fix the relationship in ourselves that's broken, our interior selves, that we're not sure of our identity and we feel not quite at home in the world. And that Jesus came also to challenge the way our relationship with the environment has broken down so that we're destroying it. And even our relationship with time, so we're so bound up with rushing and pursuing and delivering, and we're always wishing our lives away, as it were, and we have no long-term view of the fact that Jesus is coming again one day, and in fact, actually, this world is winding down. And we're in a very serious position. If in the next 12 years we don't do stuff environmentally, we have dramatic consequences to face. So just that thought. Jesus, Christ, the one who was waited for by all the great and large faiths, he came into the world to fix, long-term process, to fix. And indeed, he says in the book of Revelation, I am making everything new. And though we work on this chapel and put glass windows in, God is making everything new. This will be something new. God is redeeming all things, making everything new. Now, in Mary's song that we call the Magnificat, she declares, after Elizabeth greets her and is aware that she is Mary giving birth to the Lord, she declares all sorts of relationships that will be changed because of the birth of Jesus. Bethlehem, not Jerusalem, are to be honored by his birth. The world is turned upside down by Jesus. And we read this, my heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God, my Savior. He has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, all people will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. His name is holy. From one generation to another, he shows mercy to those who honor him. He has stretched out his mighty arm and scattered the proud with all their plans. He has brought down mighty kings from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has kept the promise he made to our ancestors and has come to the help of his servant Israel. He has remembered to show mercy to Abraham and all his descendants forever. It's a song about reversals, the world order changing, the new kingdom that is coming. And we see something of that. It exists for a time, then it vanishes. Then we see it coming again, the same old narrative. And the birth narratives that we read in the gospel tell us of the lowly and ordinary people and the foreigners God uses and involves around the birth and the coming of Jesus. They're short passages, but they're so, so powerful. The proud, like Herod, with all their plans, are indeed scattered. And the weak and the marginalized are the key players in this work of redemption. A young girl becomes the mother who delivers Jesus. An artisan carpenter cares for and adopts a pregnant woman and a fatherless child. Working shepherds are invited to see the child in a manger, and even the magi visiting from other nations, not the Jewish nation, are drawn from a great distance. Each of these comings is significant. It's actually a political statement, as well as a statement about salvation and exalting the lowly, and how the proud, if they remain in their pride, will not know the Savior of the world. And in the kingdom of Jesus, which we believe continues to this day because Jesus is alive, in the kingdom of Jesus the Messiah, mighty kings have been brought down and the lowly lifted up. Mary speaks of Jesus literally turning the world upside down. In Jesus comes one who is more interested in raising up the poor and seeking justice and taking the religious and the political rulers and oppressions to task. So Christmas is a celebration that Jesus Christ came into the world to fix something that is broken in us and the world. And some of us know something of that healing, that brokenness being fixed. It's a long job. If Jesus is given his rightful and central place in our lives and in creation, then the brokenness begins to heal as everything is made new. That's what we pray for our world in the Lord's Prayer. May the kingdom of God come. "Come to me," says Jesus, "all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. For the yoke I will give you is easy, and the load I will put on you is light." So Jesus is strong in spiritual authority, but gentle and kind in his treatment and patience. A bruised reed he will not break, and he will not put out a smouldering light. For those willing to acknowledge to God that they are broken and see in Jesus the one with authority and goodness to heal, there is salvation. So we can say with Mary, if we know this Jesus, "My heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God my Saviour, for he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, all people, those people that see us, will call me happy, blessed, because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. His name is holy." We were talking in the drinks party we've just been to locally about people's aspirations, what they aspire to, what they are ambitious for, what they long for. Christmas is a celebration that Jesus came into the world not to make us wealthy in material sense, but to fix something that is broken in us and in the world. That is cause for celebration. That is cause for celebration. Jesus repairs that which no one and nothing else can make good. And God is reminding me of that this Christmas time. I'm thinking about that. I hope that you have something that this Christmas time you're focusing on and carrying all the way through with you right into the new year. Let's just be still. We're going to use the prayer that Jesus taught